Hello guys, and welcome to yet another episode of Podcast Friday's Talk with Lois. So today I am going to be talking about something really interesting, and I have called it the Gen Z Christian and the Gen Z God. So if you're new on here, I would always say grab a popcorn if you're driving. Turn up your volume, and if you're not paying attention, totally stop everything that you're doing, I know, and give this the utmost attention, because you're going to learn a lot and it's just going to make you feel better in the end. So listen and listen and listen. So let's get right into it. For starters, I would like to say that this post is just going to be all about relationship with God, intimacy, bonding, quality time, you know, and I'm just really hoping that I pass the right message across, because for one, I'm someone that has become expressive of my faith, right? A lot of people, a lot of Gen Zers would see it somewhat as you're being too bold with your Christianity, or you're being too out there with your Christianity. And, well, I would say in my country, Nigeria, like, narrative is changing a bit. But at the same time, it's just like, the majority of people, I think the majority of people still feel, you know, being Christian is not cool enough, or being Christian is not the in thing, right? God doesn't permit this, God doesn't tolerate this, God doesn't do that. So I don't think, even if I'm Christian, I think I should maybe put it in my wardrobe a little bit so people don't know, so I don't sound not too cool, you know, or, you know, get weird questions and stuff like that. And honestly, I used to be that person that wasn't so, I wouldn't say I wasn't so comfortable with Christianity per se, but I wasn't where I am now. So if you go back on my social media post, right? Not social media post. If you go back on my website and you type, my website, by the way, is loispiration.com. loispiration.com. Loispiration. So, coin from like Lois inspiration, but this time you're skipping the iron and you're just putting inspiration, right? So if you go there and then you go to the search button and then you hit Pray with Lois, you're going to see a couple of videos that I did. I think it was like 2019 when I started the Pray with Lois series, and I used to record and I used to like put stuff out. And I remember when I used to do it back then, right, I wasn't so confident. I had these doubts, like, well, Lois, you're putting yourself out here in a very serious way with this Christianity, you know? And then I used to have these doubts, but I did it anyways, because I did it, you know? And then fast forward, we're in 2022, and then I feel really comfortable talking about it more than I used to be. And the reason why I decided to do this post, first off, we're in the month of love, and I wanted to do something along, okay, I just started seeing Emily in Paris, and there were so many things I wanted to talk about with love, you know, there was just so many things I wanted to talk about. But then, this week has been something for me, guys. You know, we all have our times, we all go through challenges, we all have our moments. We may let people know, we may not let people know, but we really know when God comes through for us. Not necessarily Him coming through in blessings and, you know, credit alerts or things like that, but coming through in a very emotional sense. And by emotional sense, I mean backed up by a physical presence, you know, like when somebody says something to you and then you know that this person, you have, the spirit is passing through you, but you don't know. But you know, because what the person said, you know, is in sync with what maybe you prayed about or what you're going through or something like that, right? And that's how it has been for me this week. you know, been having some one or twos, and God just kept on sending people. First of all, I'll start with my birthday balloon, right? I turned 23 last year, and my birthday balloon, I said I wasn't going to take it out because I wanted it to be part of like the wall decor, you know, make everywhere full and everything. And so I kept my birthday balloons. I said, when I turn 24 this year, I'm going to take out a 3 and replace it with a 4. But for some reason, I don't know how, like, I don't know what caught the 2. I don't know how it got caught. And so I woke up one day and then I realized that I had a very bold 3 and my 2 was really tiny. It means the air was like out, like was going out of it. So I'm like, okay, I blew it up back and then I put it. And then for some reason, it started going down again. Like the air was coming out. And then I inspected and I said, oh, okay. And then I put a tape on it, but it just wouldn't stick. And so I got fed up and irritated, and then I just, you know, bust the thing, and then I took it out. So it was only 3 that was there. I know I'm not 3 years old, but it was only 3 that was there, right? So I left the 3 there. Mind you, I have a prayer wall. The video before this video, you're going to see how I talk about prayer walls, setting up your prayer wall, reminders, how it boosts your confidence and all of that. So if you haven't, if you're trying to understand more about prayer walls, you should check that video. So I have a prayer wall, and it was just, I was looking for how to put it up and everything. Like the hooks I was putting wasn't working, so I got a new hook, like a super strong one. And then I just knew that, before then I knew that, okay, God is trying to tell me, hey baby girl, it's time to set up your prayer wall back again. And so I ordered for this hook on Amazon. And the same weekend that I was having, you know, some sort of, I wasn't down per se or something, but I was just having, I was just in some type, feeling some type of way. And only God like would really understand because. So somebody sent me a message out of the blue of something I had said before and that I usually say. Be intentional, keep praying, and everything will align with God. Then all of a sudden, a friend of mine just randomly sends me a checkup voice note. Hey Lois, my spirit just said to check up on you. Hope you're good. Hope you're everything. And I'm just like, and then my sister too. And I'm just like, I see you, God. I see you. I see what you're trying to do here. I see how you're reaching to me through people, right? And then my hook came like the next day, and I'm like, yes, I see that you want me to set up my wall. I see what you're doing here. And then I set up my prayer wall and everything. And then I decided to record this video to talk about relationship with God. So sometimes this year, I'll start with the fact that this year I set out saying, dear God, I want rest of mind. I want peace. I don't want to stress myself. I want real intimacy with you. Not intimacy that I'm going and coming, or I say I'm trying to be intimate with God and then the only thing I'm doing in my prayer is, oh, I bind, I cast, I bind. It's not every time now. See all the stress there for my okay. Don't get me wrong, doing all those kind of warfare prayers are necessary. But as Christians, we need to understand, Christians, Gen Z Christians, whatever, we need to understand seasons, timing, phases, not just with ourselves, but with ourselves in sync with God and with what He wants. So we come in a certain place where God is trying to maybe increase your capacity, maybe in prayer, in something, and He just keeps on firing your spirit. Warfare, maybe your family's in trouble, your friends, maybe something, He just keeps on putting in your spirit. You need to battle, you need to war, you need to wake up, you know, that's fine. But we need to pay attention to what our spirit is saying. Not, and then the time, because not when He's trying to tell you, I'm seeking a deeper and intentional relationship with you that is very intimate, you are doing Holy Ghost by Holy Ghost. No. And so, getting into this year, I felt in my spirit that God is trying to say, there is this intimacy, because it's different for everybody, right? The Christian walk, the Christian experience, not this and not this now. It is different for everybody, because according to the talent parable, you know, where God gave this person five, this person three, this person 5-3-1, or maybe 5-3-2-1, I think 5-3-1, right? They had different journeys. They had different purposes. God gave them the talents according to, you know, their capacity. You know, he had looked at them and he had given them that talent. So that's how we are as humans in our Christian walk with God. Different people get to build different capacity at different times. And that's okay. But we need to understand that with God, right? In our relationship with God. So I just felt this year, I felt in my spirit that God was just trying to say, I'm trying to call you to a different type of intimacy, right? I'm a very emotional person. Like, I'm very emotional. And so this year, I found myself really interpreting the Bible in different emotional setups, trying to understand the love of God, trying to, as cheesy as this may sound, trying to understand his view on some things. You know, you get to that place where you're trying to take a decision and you're like, God, Holy Spirit, I don't want to grieve you. Is this okay? Does this feel good? Should I do this? Should I do that? You know, in a very soft, you're not stressing. You get to your place of prayer. And even if it's just plain chant or instrumentals with nobody singing, right? Just instrumentals playing. There is that peace and serenity. And you don't need to shout down the house. No. It can be something as little as, and you can go lower. It does not mean God is going to speak to you any less than he will if you're screaming the roof down. And so I thought about what I wanted, that is the peace of mind, the rest, having this intimacy with God, trying to satisfy my spirit, and then how I wanted it, right? And just like a partner, sometimes your partner doesn't necessarily need to tell you, I love you. Then you can come back home, and then maybe your love language is acts of service. And then you can see that, okay, he's done the dishes, he's made dinner, he's done some one or twos. And then you're thinking, it's the little things, he paid attention. Maybe you guys had a conversation during the day and then you already worked up and then he did all those things, all interpreting, hey, I love you. And so this is just me trying to expose people to a different kind of love from God, to a different type of intimacy. That's why I call it the Gen Z Christian, the Gen Z God. Because God is also a God that understands times. If you look at the Old Testament, you see that at some point God was going on a, write the Ten Commandments, Moses, take it, you know, you broke it, write another one. And then in Ezekiel, he moved to, I will place my commandments in their hearts. No longer will they have a stony heart, but I will replace it with a heart of flesh. Then he translated to the conscience, he understood the people. And so, the Gen Z Christian, like I said, not necessarily meaning people, Gen Zs, right? But just in this generation where we're trying to know God, but not in the way our parents have, right? But in a way that speaks, hey God, I've had a long day. Hey God, I'm tired. Hey God, I really need you to come through. Because you said in your word, it's like having a conversation, like a prayer, like, of course prayer is a conversation, but it's like being more connected intimately, like me sitting down, right? Hey God, I've had quite a day, but I know you said you will not allow the waters to drown me, and even though I pass through fire, I will not be burnt. This is a prayer, because what I'm saying is the word that is in Isaiah, you know. And the bliss, you guys, have you tried it? The bliss, you're plugged, music is playing, worship, and you're calm, experiencing the peace that surpasses all understanding amidst all the challenges, right? And you're saying this prayer, your eyes that doesn't necessarily even need to be closed. Maybe the room can be dark. That's amazing, the ambience. Good. And then you're like, but I know you said when I pass through the fire, you will not burn me. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. But I know you said the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And coming out to say all these things doesn't mean me, myself, I'm on a perfect journey, you know. And in this generation, the Gen Z generation, we need to take out the fact that when somebody trying to put up some, like, some talk about like a particular niche, saying Christianity and fashion and whatever, when a person makes a mistake, we vilify the person, you know, and almost makes it look like the person cannot get it. Maybe the person has, as a result of the build-up in his niche or her niche, you know, people have come to revere the person in a good light. Okay, this person is knowledgeable, this person knows this, so the next time this person knows that. And then you make one mistake. Especially with Christianity, people want to nail people, like, hit them, nail them on the head a lot of times, because it's like, we thought you were, we were following you. Oh God, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. I'm not the yardstick. Jesus is. I'm only looking at him, because as I look at him is as I behold. It's not as I look at him you behold. You behold your own. Let me behold my own. We're only doing this because one way or another, the media has become such a space that connects with people so much that we don't even understand its reach sometimes. We don't understand that as little as a word, a sentence, a phrase can be picked up by someone that you said and make a whole different meaning in that person's world. And so to say, I can't put myself out here in this way because this is Christianity, it's a delicate subject, nobody is perfect, everybody has their journeys, is to don't just even have an opinion about any other thing, because it's hypocritical to me. We're not knowledgeable 100% on all the subjects we talk about, but we talk about it anyways. So why does Christianity have to be different? Think about it. Why does Christianity have to be different? Why do we have to vilify people where they fall? The same Bible says that we follow, says a man shall fall seven times and after that never to fall again. So it's okay if you're in your Christian journey and you don't have that great faith that Abraham had. It's okay to be in your Christian journey, and like, I think it was this centurion, you know, that asked Jesus, will you heal? If you can just heal my daughter. I think it was a centurion. I don't know, but I think so. But the person shall ask, if you can just heal. And then Jesus said, if? It's okay if you're trusting God for healing and healing is not there. Oh God, take drugs and be alright. It's okay. You have not gotten to that level yet. It's not a journey of perfection. If it's a journey of perfection, people wouldn't make mistakes. And if you don't make mistakes, how do you learn? If you don't make mistakes, how do you have a track record? If you don't make mistakes, how are you able to educate people through their own process after God has helped you? Where is your scar? Where is your testament of experience? Where is your story? How dare you talk to people without a story of their challenges? They're going through something you haven't gone through before, and then you say, "It is well, peace be unto you." Excuse you, move away. You know? And so, this is just me saying out here that the Gen Z Christian, the Gen Z God, yes, God understands. We don't have a high priest that is not touched by, you know, the challenges that we go through. And so God understands. I'm not saying God understands all your silly excuses you make up for, you know, going against the word, because as Paul would say, should sin continue so that grace may abound? God forbid. You know? But it's in falling and picking yourself up with Christ, rising up, not looking back to the past, but looking forward to what God is calling you to do, to where God is calling you to be. It's an understanding your unique journey in your purpose in God. God has so many dimensions we will never be able to contain. To some people, He reveals Himself in a very huge part of prosperity. To some people, it's a very huge part in healing. To some people, it's a very huge understanding in love. To some people, it's a very huge understanding in the dynamics of prayer. To some people, it's perspective. To some people, it's the understanding of grace. To some people, it's favor. He communicates different, you know, it's different levels of understanding that He has unlocked in partnership to how far we're willing to go with Him. And so your journey can be totally and entirely different from someone else's journey, and that's okay. And so I just felt to put this out here to encourage other Christians, other young believers, and everybody listening to this. It's okay if you're in a room with someone and the person is blasting tongues 100 degrees. It's okay if someone is stretching in prayers 2 hours and all you can do is 20 minutes. It's okay if people are waking up in the night 1 to 4 to pray, to bind, to cast. And you're not even up for night prayers. Trust me, if the Spirit wants to prompt you, it will. It's not even, it doesn't even have to be about you sometimes. And it's important that we're able to discern. Not saying you should be laid back, no, but discern. Right now, I'm in a place where, like I said, I want to understand God more intimately. I want to sit down. I want to say, let's have a talk. I'm not having a good day. What's happening? You know? I want to, at the end of that rant session or that session, be able to say, but I trust you. I trust that you will honor my faith like you did. I trust that. And that's okay. There's no yardstick for a type of prayer or a type of prayer that there's like the general, you know, God answers prayers, God does this, God does that from the Bible. That's the standard, right? But in terms of how God will answer your own prayer, there is no general yardstick to that. The general yardstick is the Bible that you now imply in your life, right? And then you combine it with your relationship with God to get results. Then it all boils down to that relationship with God. How is it like? General yardstick from the Bible and everything, yes, will give you an answer, but more effective to pray, to pray and be able to understand the move of God in the next phase of your life, to pray and to be able to understand what God is trying to say per time to you, to pray and to be able to discern how you're feeling, what the Spirit is saying to you or trying to communicate. You need
need a relationship to understand the time you're in. That's, you know, God is trying to say something to you in particular and not just general. You need a relationship. So I believe my work here is done. In summary, guys, get a relationship with God. Read your Bible. Very important. Know what God wants. The Bible is a general yardstick, but for it to be more effective, the relationship needs to be in place, which is specific to you and God. And then when applied, it makes a whole lot of difference and is more effective. So find that place. Find that space. Learn, grow, listen to people, pray, trust. Take all your problems to God. In as much as you're able to communicate to Him, be willing to listen back. It's two ways, it's not one. God can be a Gen Z God. He is a Gen Z God because He understands, right? As much as you're a Gen Z Christian, as much as you're saying, I want to be cool, I want to be this, I want to be that, God can be all of that. You just need to get to that place with Him and give Him time. And give yourself time too. I've come to the end, okay? I've said a lot. I know I made sense. I'm just hoping get the drift and the Holy Spirit communicates it to you in a better understanding and light. So this is me signing out. Lois Terry Gabor. Subscribe, share, repost. So I see you again. Maybe next time I'm gonna indulge you guys in Emily and Paris. You never can tell, or what next, I don't know, but yeah, until I see you again.